Our first scripture lesson comes to us from the Psalter, Psalm 19. Listen for God's word. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. Like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Here ends the first lesson.
The second lesson comes to us from 1 Samuel, chapter 3. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down, and the Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there as before, calling, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell his vision to Eli. But Eli called to Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall on the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's been a long day. In all reality, it's been a long year, and you are tired, so tired, you might even call it bone weary. It's the end of the day, and it's that point where the muscle in the back of your neck is so tight that you can barely move your head. You're desperate to just go to sleep, but there's that headache and there's that list of things you have to deal with. So you're sitting in your chair in your room, wondering when night will finally come. You're thinking about the conversations you need to have with your adult children and the projects that you still have to look into, and eventually you fall asleep. And then, was it the footsteps that woke you up? You jolt awake at a sound. Was it that enthusiastic, stomping, running steps that children specialize in? Was that what got your attention? Or was it the voice, "Here I am," that jolted you out of your slumber? Did you wake up and immediately wonder, what's wrong? Who's hurt? Where should I go? What is going on? Why are you here? Only to see that earnest face. "You called me. I'm here." And you think, kids, kids, is this a new stall technique to avoid going to bed? Is it an overactive imagination? Maybe the older boys are playing a trick on the little one. You assume it will pass, and with a deep sigh, you say, "Go back to bed." And before you can fall asleep again, you hear those footsteps and that voice, "Here I am, ready to help. What can I do?" "Go back to bed, Samuel, my son. Please, just go to bed." And there, something starts to nag the back of your mind. What's going on with this boy? What on earth could he be up to? So when he shows up again the third time, everything kind of clicks. Oh, yes, that's right. God speaks, and sometimes he calls us by name. So there, when you hear those footsteps approaching one more time, you're ready with a better answer. If you hear your name again, Samuel, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So you send the boy back to bed, and you wait to see if you'll hear God's voice that night as well. I almost always think of this story from Samuel's perspective, from the boy in the temple being awakened in the night by his name being called out. I always think of that response with that childlike enthusiasm that you're ready to go any hour of the day when you're called. I always like to imagine what it would be like to try to go back to sleep after Eli told me God might be speaking to me. if I would be lying on the ground with one eye open, hoping with my fingers crossed that I would hear my name again. And as a children's minister, it really is a perfect piece of scripture, isn't it? If you want to have some real fun, come and join the 2 and 3-year-olds when they get to play the Samuel game. And the 2 and 3-year-olds get to lay down on the ground and you come up and whisper to them and say, "Eli, Eli." And they jump up and say, "Here I am. Sarah, Sarah, here I am." And then usually it involves running around the room as all good games do. They love the story. And as much as it is a story of a child listening in the night, it's also the story of Eli. Of Eli listening in the night as well. It's a great story for the whole church because it talks to us about space and about relationships and about listening. It's a story for all of us Elis and all of the Samuels as well. So let's look back at the beginning about the setting, where it takes place. Eli is asleep in the inner sanctum. We have to realize how unbelievable this is, that a child is at the very front, right there by the Ark of the Covenant. Children should not have been there. It would have been walking into the sanctuary this morning and finding the kindergarten class curled up on all of our chairs up here, holding the communion silver close by with their heads rested on a Bible. It would have been almost, well, surprising, right? But there Samuel is, asleep in the temple, like he owns the place. He's comfortable enough there to fall asleep at the end of the day, that's his place. That's where he goes back to. That's where he's comfortable. He's not tiptoeing around holy objects. He's there and he understands and he's part of the story ministering to the Lord there in the temple. It reminds me of when Jesus, as a boy, goes back to the great temple in Jerusalem, and when his exasperated parents find him, what does he say? "I've been spending time in my Father's house." Like he owns the place. He's so comfortable in that sacred room. Researchers who are trying to understand how children interact with faith have studied a lot about how children understand sacred space, like churches. And over the last 20 years, they found that more and more children are afraid of coming into churches. Churches are a scary space for small people. The architecture is different. Sound moves differently. The lights look different. It can be frighteningly surreal at times. But while they find the space somewhat scary, the most disturbing part is that they often report that they don't belong in church. One child's quote from a study said, "It's for big people, not for me." They're afraid that they might do something wrong, that they might break something special, or that a spirit might get them. They're so afraid that they would rather stay outside. Now, if you stay outside when you're 4, 5, and 6, do you really think you start coming through the doors when you're 17, 18, or 30? I love that in this story, Samuel is so comfortable in that holy space. Part of my job is walking into this space with children, and it is wonderful to watch them walk in and look up in the awe that's in their eyes. If you ever like drop down to your knees and look up, the place is even cooler from that height. I love to watch them trace the carvings in the wood with their fingers, to realize that there are words on the communion table and that there are pictures hidden in the windows. I love even more when that awe becomes familiarity, when they can tell me where their pew is, where they sit, and when they flop themselves across the front steps of the chancel like they own the place, because they feel comfortable and safe walking here among the sacred. When there is no barrier, When we feel like we belong, suddenly our ears can be open and we can hear God. How often do we as adults feel ourselves as interlopers when we walk into holy space? When was the last time you had a place where you felt so close to God and so comfortable that you could fall asleep listening for God's voice? What changes when you know that your place is right there among the holy? And while one part of Samuel's story is his interaction with the space, it's just as much his interaction with Eli. Now remember, things were awful in Israel at that point. Eli's sons were the worst. They had destroyed the reputation of the temple at Shiloh. They had cheated people, they had lied, they had blasphemed against God, and Eli didn't know what to do. He was at the end of his life, and he saw his legacy crumbling, and he couldn't hear God anymore. So there he is, and there's a wonderful play on words in the Hebrew, where it says his eyes were failing, but the light of God was still burning in the temple. That Eli's vision had gotten so small that all he could do was sit in his room. So there Eli is, sitting, wondering what could happen next, not able to hear, and then bursting into that space is the boy Samuel. "Here I am. You called me. I'm here." Even if Eli wanted to close his ears and not hear God, Samuel was right in front of him, demanding that he listen. Lisa Miller, a child psychologist who works on spirituality and children, has found that most parents and guardians and those who work with children enter into this second spiritual learning because kids ask important questions. Every time they say, why, and how, and what's that? We're forced to start thinking through our answers again. We have to start thinking about God in a new way because that little person is asking us. So you see parents and grandparents and guardians and teachers having this renaissance of faith. It's a gift. Those little footsteps in the night and the "here I am," that is the greatest theological conversation you can have. In fact, I'd like to send some of our four-year-olds up to Princeton Theological Seminary to sit with my theology professors. I think they could have a good conversation together. I learn so much from sitting with children. The way they read Scripture and they engage in the story reminds me of the power of Scripture. But it's not just the way children shape us. It's also what Eli does. Samuel would have been running around the temple all night saying, "Here I am, here I am, here I am," if Eli hadn't been willing to say, "God is speaking," to give Samuel the tools to listen, the guidance to figure out what the next step would be. And then most importantly, the next morning, instead of hiding out in his room, finding Samuel and saying, "What did God say?" And when Samuel pulls back and is afraid, Eli says, "Tell me everything," and listens to Samuel's interaction with the holy, even though that's a hard prophecy to hear. This is a story of listening, and more than just listening to God, because we know God speaks to us. But it's a story of listening to one another. That late in the night, when you hear those footsteps or the phone rings and a friend calls, and you're able to say, "Yes, here I am, what?" That is a holy conversation. Eli was brave enough to listen to Samuel's prophecy, and he was strong enough to listen and still care for Samuel after that truth was spoken. When we enter into the holy, we don't know the outcome, but when we accompany one another into that space, the word of God lives again. How do we respond when a child comes running, holding tight to the word of God? Well, I hope we listen carefully and deeply. I hope we guide with grace. I hope we walk through sacred space like this church and so many others and find the word of God alive again. Eli was lost, and there in that night he was invited to be a priest. His vision was failing. Samuel showed him where it could be found. And there he was to guide Samuel from being a boy in the temple to being a prophet who spoke for God. So friends, let us walk through holy spaces together, and let us listen so that when we hear that word, we'd be ready to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.